Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to Build an Agency. We are on episode 7, and as promised, we're talking about sales, sales, and more sales. And I'm here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, guys?
And honestly, we're kind of talking more about marketing. So I think a huge distinction to make, honestly, just right out the gate, is the difference between marketing and sales. So, I mean, it's not like you're wrong or anything, but marketing is super top of the funnel. So that's where you're getting attention and getting a whole bunch of people interested in your product, or getting a whole bunch of people trying to see your stuff. So that's a lot of the marketing aspect. And sales is where you're actually closing and converting on those people that are in the funnel, turning those people into customers. So there's a huge difference, really. It might seem small.
For sure. And we'll get in that here in a second.
Yeah.
So what all happened this week, dude?
Dude, a lot.
Super productive week.
I mean, just like work on top of work. We're finally like, not finally, we're hitting a really big stride, I think.
Yeah.
We definitely, like, after a couple weeks ago, I mean, we set up our new site. We set up, like, a bunch of new, I guess, aspects of our business that were definitely needed. And so this week, we've been really focusing on doing sales work. Travis put together, like, just pitch after pitch. We're starting to like actually catalog and get all of our services like listed out so that we're ready to just like hammer everything out. It feels really good.
Good. Yeah, I'm really excited.
We also, I mean, before we get super deep, we also, hit on a couple campaigns this week. Spent a little time working on a GoFundMe for leukemia. Which Travis is like super committed in. I'm super committed in. We're just trying to help this kid out. Shared on his Facebook page.
Yeah, two and a half year old kid diagnosed with leukemia. Parents are struggling to pay the bills, and so they're trying to raise some money for that. So we're going crazy over.
Yeah, we got it trending. So
yeah, I got trending on GoFundMe. So we're really excited about that.
And I think we increased shares by like 250 in a day or two.
Yeah.
So the attention is there. I mean,
yeah, I just gotta keep trucking with it.
Super impressive.
Get it paid off. What's funny is right before we started recording this, we started kind of getting into like this like philosophical discussion of like how personal do we really want to get with this? Because we don't want to take our young listenership and just do a bunch of like plugs for this campaign. And so we're going to opt to not do so, but I don't know. That might be like a good discussion question for the Facebook this week.
See, yeah, that is true. I think you and I are both just really nice guys in general. Yes. Like we really want people to like be happy, be successful, provide things. Like we're very, like philanthropic in nature. And so it's like, we want to like go out and like just make a huge plug for this and just get this kid funded up and stuff. But then
we also don't want to take advantage of our listenership.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, so is philanthropic ventures, are those like commercials?
Yeah,
are those?
Yeah, actually, because I was relating it to a commercial earlier.
Sure.
Because like, I was like, I don't want to.
We were just on the fence. Like, yeah. I mean, and I saw where you were coming from. I mean,
but at the same time, it's like it's a donation for a child.
Yeah, like, it's like
this child could live or could die based on like if he actually has a financial funding for this.
Like you could never buy any of our marketing services. And if you donated to this campaign, I would just high five you immediately. I don't even care. Yeah. Like my preference would be to take all your money and dump it onto this campaign because this kid needs it. But I don't know. So I guess for now we're not going to plug this. Maybe as the campaign matures and build steam. Maybe we can talk about it later, but
there are some like YouTubers out there who kind of sway their audience or like bring attention to issues and then see where they're
Oh my, I knew this was gonna happen.
Oh man. Okay, we have some technical issues. We'll hold off for a minute. All right, hold on.
All right, sorry about that. So while we're not willing to do a plug for this campaign right now, we are willing to do a plug for our friend Brad at Tech It To Me. That's techittome.com. They are by far our favorite IT company here in West Texas. We were having some redirect problems on our website, and Brad was kind enough to step away from his Memorial Day festivities to help us get it fixed and sorted out and good to go. So
yeah, hopefully
God bless you, Brad.
Yeah, that it was just a massive play. That was the phone call we just took. He was he was telling us how we had some IT issues and he fixed them. So we'll be able to get him all paid up and squared out and everything. So
thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Brad. Lifesaver, hopefully. He actually, we just saw on his page, on his website, he has like a video blog too. And it looks like he's talking about IT stuff in general.
It was on his YME page, so interesting. YME.
Okay.
I think it's really cool, and it doesn't matter how good you are in front of a camera or how comfortable you are like talking in front of crowds. I think videos are always powerful.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a super strong way to build trust.
Yeah.
So
techittome.com. If you are in Lubbock, Texas and have any IT concerns, problems, anything.
The dude's a hoss.
Brad will handle it. Brad will handle it.
Yeah, I mean, this is straight up like 9:30 almost on a Memorial Day night. So, okay, awesome. Sales, marketing,
sales,
lead
dude.
Gen, prospecting, so, qualifying, sales teams, pitches, proposals.
So I think what got us really prepping hard for a really strong sales campaign is our friend Greg is wanting to sell our services.
Yeah, so I have a longtime buddy. So we've had kind of salesmen in the past, I guess, and they've lasted for a little while. You know, employees come and go, I guess. And so we have another opportunity right now to be able to train up and talk to another salesperson, and he's a friend of mine, and it's kind of interesting to take this path. Since we've had multiple salespeople, we've kind of been able to test the waters and different ways to work with them, and with my background as a salesperson, and I've led a huge sales team before. I was an MVP of sales in like the year 2013, I think, for my last sales company that I worked for, because I had such a good team that I led. In like 3 months, we sold like $600,000 worth of stuff. So that's pretty good. And so I like to think that I know what I'm doing with sales teams. But at the same time, it's also been kind of difficult working with sales personnel. And maybe it's because we have a new company. And so we don't have like all of these pre-formulated pitches and pre-formulated like calendar prospecting things or pre-fabricated design work and stuff like that. So honestly, that might be the largest challenge that we're overcoming vastly now. And so I'm super pumped to be able to introduce him into our team, into our family, and see what kind of direction we can take him with. I don't know. What are your first impressions on him?
I mean, I think he's going to be really good. Like I've known Greg for a long time. He's a great guy and I'm really excited to work with him. And I think he's motivated. And I think our commission structure and, our product, and as well as like, I put together a hefty lead sheet for him. Like I prospected over 90 leads for him locally. So I'm actually really excited to kind of see him, you know, run with it, you know.
Do we want to talk about prospecting?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So what is your ideal methodology to prospecting clients?
Ooh.
How have you done it for us, and then how could that carry on, you know, in other industries for our listeners?
So it super depends on who you're selling to or what you're selling.
Okay.
So if you're selling peanuts, you have to do prospecting different than if you're selling boats.
Sure.
Not only that, but if you're selling to businesses, you prospect differently than if you're selling to consumers.
B2B is always slower than B2C.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. at least closing wise. But on the prospecting end, I think we can actually talk about some lead generation methods and then we'll go into prospecting. So on the prospecting end, it depends where you're getting your leads from or where you can get your leads from, where you can talk to people at. So if you're talking to people, obviously one of the first things that comes to your mind or can come to your mind is good old fashioned networking. So networking is old school method. You go and meet people, you spend, you know, an hour, 2 hours, talking to people and getting to know them and hopefully qualifying them, by using some form of criteria to determine whether or not they would buy from you pretty soon, or in a reasonable amount of time, or if you need to nurture them before they buy from you. So good old-fashioned networking, kind of a little time-consuming if you ask me. Another way to prospect, kind of time-consuming as well, is just like looking on a map. Like literally we were doing this, one of our services solves an issue for reviews. And so if it solves that issue, go to where the problem is, exists, which is on the map with people who have low reviews. So obviously Travis actually the other day literally ran over the entire city of Lubbock and just found every business that had a low amount of reviews or low star rating, so low rating reviews.
Or even businesses that were so sensitive that like below 4 stars could be detrimental. So like there was a plastic surgery institute that had under 4 stars, and I don't think that's acceptable for someone who's operating on people's faces and bodies and
yeah.
You know.
So depending on where your problem is, depending on what solution you present for people,
yep.
Look to prospect people that way. The internet is a huge resource. If you're selling something that's a solution to private practitioners, go to private practitioner websites. If you're selling something that solves a web hosting issue, go to people who have websites, which Whois directory would be a great location. There's a million different places, and I would be super eager to answer any questions for people who have a specific product or a specific service that they don't know where to get leads from. There's leads literally everywhere. A really powerful place to get leads would be an affiliate type, location, an affiliate website, an affiliate system, which will get you leads. So depending on how much money you can spend per lead, or spend per person that you would be prospecting and qualifying. Actually, you're not prospecting them if they're already leads. So once you qualify them after you get these people, depending on how much money you can spend, an affiliate system might be really strong. And you can just literally Google, like, say you're selling boats, boat lead affiliates. And you'll probably find a boat lead affiliate company.
Mm-hmm.
That literally sells leads for selling boats. So super powerful ways to generate it. And if you're like, well, nobody is going to buy those, they're too costly. False. If you're not buying them, your competitor's buying them. This is my thesis. If there's someone out there who wants to buy something, if you're not getting to them, your competitors are getting to them. So affiliate system's decent. Pay-per-click is a great way to drive people who are interested in your topics over to your website, and you only pay per click. So pretty cost-effective method that way. Some other ways to get lead generation, which is super powerful, and I'm totally an advocate for because we literally do this for people, is like an inbound marketing strategy. And that's where people just find you rather than you going out to them. So putting out content or being discoverable on Google for specific keywords that relate to your industry, or, you know, there's just people totally underestimate putting out content. And one of the biggest things for that is the informational content, through YouTube or through, articles in general.
Mm-hmm.
So usually if you have a highly technical industry, putting out content is super, super important, because someone's going to look up one of these long tail key phrase questions that no one's going to really rank for, but your article could rank for if it solves that exact problem. So you have to be a little crafty and honestly an expert in your field, and you will attract more visitors. You will attract more customers that way. What else do we need to talk about? Emails. So always have a running email list. I mean, there's just like, I could just keep going. This is like literally you can get leads everywhere.
For sure.
Prospecting is super, super, super specific to what you're selling, who you're selling to, what solutions you present to people, honestly. And if you're selling a good, like a B2C kind of thing, if you're selling something that doesn't necessarily solve a problem, but you want people to buy it, present it like it solves a problem, or present it like it's a good investment. So I used to sell knives, like kitchen cutlery, and that's a super B2C thing. And honestly, you just build the value for the good, and people will spend $100, $200, $300, $400, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 on a set of knives. Like, if you're building the value, if you're building up the confidence of the product, I mean, you can literally sell anything like that. I could sell peanuts by building up the value of the peanuts, you know. So, prospecting.
Gotcha. So you laid out a lot of concepts on how to accomplish this. So what are some ways, some real ways that you've done that with Hone? Like maybe even recently or
so Hone specific
some examples.
Hone specific. We know that our solutions cater to people who want more money, who want more attention, who want more customers, who want to build a better brand value, who want to increase the perception of their company in general, or increase the visibility of their company in general, and specifically online,
okay,
on the web. So that those are all the things we solve, being a marketing company. So where do you go to find these people? We have been pretty successful, I would say, in using an affiliate system because we can afford it because we're not selling peanuts. So our leads are worth a lot more than someone who's selling gum. You know, if you're selling gum at 50 cents a stick, you can't afford paying $10 for a lead. Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we can afford to spend, you know, $50, $80, $140 on a lead. So like literally, an affiliate system works really well for us. We also use freelance sites. I mean, why leave the money on the table? We're not necessarily freelancers, but if someone's searching for a job, why would you leave the money on the table? So sign up for freelance sites. I don't necessarily recommend Thumbtack, but we have used Thumbtack in the past and we've got sales from it.
Thumbtack's really up and down too. I just want to make sure our listeners understand that. You'll get a hefty supply of leads at first, and then they will drop you like a bad habit.
Yeah, it depends how competitive your niche is and how competitive, just in general, submitting quotes are. If that is in your price range, I would just be smart with your money. So use that. Also, our website is a well-ranking website for some of the key terms that are important to us. So we've seen a lot of traffic and a lot of attention in that fashion. Doing good old-fashioned networking is always really good. we haven't necessarily seen too many leads, but we have gotten a lot of attention from networking. So I would say that it's still, you know, a good option if you know how to kind of swing yourself. A lot of people think that they're your competitors when really they're just waiting to white label your service. So if you assert yourself as being really good in a field, you might even make sales off of people doing sales for you. So otherwise, what's another way we make sales? I'm trying to think. We kind of take leads from a lot of locations, and we're able to prospect people pretty easily since between like LinkedIn and between just kind of like finding every business around you. Because we just sell to businesses who need more attention, and everyone needs more attention. So we kind of have that as a blessing. There's almost like, it's not tricky. Back when we sold websites, that was a little trickier. do you remember how it was just like slow because people don't know that they need website updates, or people think that they're okay with certain updates having a certain level of like, oh, that's okay that my page doesn't load on a mobile phone. It's like, actually, no, that's not okay. You're actually losing money like that because Google's barely ranking you anymore. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people don't know that they need that stuff. People know that they need more money. So people know that they need more attention.
Absolutely.
So you got, really this goes back to how you're prospecting, and it's just knowing what you solve for people and knowing how to just understand that solution and put a problem behind it, reverse engineering the solution. That's really the biggest way to prospect in my mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And then, of course, qualifying, determining whether or not they're sellable. So you can, I can prospect all day. I can have a list of 10,000 people, but if they don't fit our criteria, if they aren't a good candidate for our work, it's better to just turn them away rather than try to work with them and have a weird situation occur where you're like, oh, well, I wanted to provide you value, but all of a sudden I can no longer provide you value for some reason because of something that's going on in your company, or maybe you can't actually afford us. You know, if we're doing something that that has optimal return on investments in 6 months and you can't afford 6 months, that's probably not a good fit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then having the right pitches, having the right proposals, using a powerful story when you're pitching something to someone, and having a solid, like, I don't want to say template, but it's kind of a template where you introduce a problem, talk about the problems, introduce the solution, build the value, and then create the sale, and then incentivize for the sale. That's a really good template for sales. Mm-hmm. Like literally, if you do that, those, what was it, four steps for any product or service, and you put the right words behind it, you'll slay. Like literally slay. That's how I did sales when I was selling knives, and our pitches right now are looking like that. So I can only anticipate good things coming out of this next week. Honestly, and having another salesperson now, ooh, dude, this month is going to be scary, man.
Yeah. So
I'm afraid we're going to have too much money.
Well, so let's bring him back to Greg. So you are literally building, hone Salesforce, literally starting like this week.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? So in comparison to when you led a sales team at Vector to now you're building a sales team for Hone, what are some things from those experiences you're going to carry with you, and how are they going to be different? What are some issues you foresee having, or, you know, challenges that you think you can overcome, or what's going on?
So there's a couple things. That's a good question. There's a couple things. First thing is knowing how many resources a salesperson will need to be successful.
Okay.
And what that looked like for us was determining how many leads or how much it would cost to deliver X amount of leads to a salesperson per month. And then you have to determine what an incentive would look like for them. Because it's far and few between where you actually find somebody that will do something without incentive. It's just human nature.
Okay.
So finding the correct incentive. And then honestly, I think one of the bigger factors that it might sound a little scummy or something, but honestly, instilling greed in people, like really just making them want to get after like money and ambition. So just like growing that ambitious and fiery nature in someone. I think that's the key, honestly. And if you show them that they can grow with you and that they can leave an impact with you, it's a no-brainer. People will crawl through the mud at that point because it's like they want to leave an impact. They see the end goal. They see that we're all fighting for one thing, and it's just that's how you win. That's how you build it. That's how you get the family going. That's how you get the whole, like, Mondays we're going to do sales calls together and we're just going to go nonstop for 4 hours. Like, people don't do that unless you just, like, get the fire going, get the greed going, get the ambition going, get the impact and vision instilled in people. So, really, that's the biggest thing. Once you know, like, the numbers, the hard facts, the 75%, the 85%, of a sales team, or I would even say a team in general, is to just instill that vision, instill that greed, instill that ambition, instill all that good stuff. It's the person that's gonna make the plays. It's not the incentive that's gonna make the plays. I could spend $500 a month on a robot to do auto responding stuff, but it's never gonna be the same as a person who wants to get after something.
Okay.
So
you're going to instill motivation in Greg.
Greed, fire.
All right. Well, so in terms of lead prospecting, so we already mentioned, like, I put together that list of 90 something prospects. So are we going to give him more leads in the future, or is he going to have to, you know, kind of grow, you know, develop his own, you know, lead?
His own legs, his own sea legs.
Yeah, like, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, is he gonna have to like prospect his own leads, like without me having to do it in the future, or are we going to just continue to do that for him? Or
so it depends. I know a lot of salespeople are given leads. I know a lot of salespeople are expected to develop their own leads. When I worked for Vector, I was expected to prospect and gather my own leads. And I know some salespeople, just wait for leads to kind of like coast in through a website or something. And they're not necessarily salespeople. They're more of like client allies. So TBD, to be decided. I also think it kind of depends who he's selling to. If he's selling to larger customers, like huge businesses, I would expect him to prospect his own leads. If he's selling to small businesses, I would say we can almost give him the leads. It's kind of bundled into the cost of having a salesperson in general. So this kind of goes back to knowing how much it costs to have a salesperson and knowing how much it costs to gather the leads and understanding if you can afford it. To give them a decent lifestyle, because you don't want your salesperson starving. That's a fast track to failure. So it depends.
Okay, so you've motivated him, you've instilled your greed, you've fed him a list of leads, so you've given him direction. So the next step is, how do you manage him in the process of him selling to these businesses?
As an entrepreneur, I would say don't manage him. As a person who's managing people, I would say, and the reason I say don't manage him is because that's like a waste of time, right? He should be Well, he should be like, you know, pulling in these people on his thing. Like the task should be deferred to him.
How do we monitor and stay on top of him actually doing his task?
Right? A CRM and a sales goal. So
okay, so break down what a CRM is for our listeners.
So CRM is just like a customer management system, honestly CMS. So you just put a person as a subscriber or a visitor to your website. You capture their email and they are there, right? They're not necessarily a lead yet. So you send them a couple things, they get nurtured, maybe they want to buy from you, all of a sudden they are looking into your product, boom, they're a lead. And then you convert that lead into, you know, and you push them down the funnel. So, I mean, what was the question?
Like, it was practically how are we going to stay on top of our sales?
Oh, guys? Yeah. So you track the lead going through the funnel within your CMS. Sorry, I was like,
no, you're
thinking
good
on sales. So you track the person literally as an individual every step of the way through the funnel. And if he's doing his job, he should be pushing people further and further down the funnel and converting on more and more people. And we should see that he's doing his job strictly by having people convert more, or introducing more people to our funnel. So that would be a good way to say, hey, he's performing, or, hey, he has, you know, he has a list of 90 people that he should go talk to, and say he makes a sales quota. So having a sales quota would be another way. So if he doesn't make $1,500 of sales per month, that's a good way to say, hey, you're not performing. So a lot of companies have like a sales catch where they pay you whatever, $2,000 a month. But if you don't make $2,000 a month, you owe the company the difference. So kind of a sweet way to do things. I think it's a little bit more suited for like full-time sales personnel. And it's a good way to keep the pressure on for salespeople, especially if you're delivering leads to people. You do want them to have some kind of like capture or some kind of closure rate that they're consistent with. So
yeah,
it's a little cutthroat, but when you're running a company, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're literally trusting someone else to bring in that money for you. So you got to keep the pressure on, you know.
Yeah.
It sounds like kind of like ruling with an iron fist. And I know that like a lot of sales jobs, they have like a lot of guys who've been in sales who've had very crummy experiences with their management or whatever. And even with Greg, we were talking about how maybe some different sales positions or whatever he's been in the past where he's had problems. And I do hope that we can make this a better experience for him.
Yeah, we like we were mentioning earlier, we've had other salespeople. We've had other sales personnel, and for one reason or another, they just kind of, you know, fizzle out or whatever else. You know how employees can be, where it's just like, you know, you have other things going on or you see yourself doing other things. Or if they're particularly young guys that are like, you know what, I kind of just wanted to try sales and it's not really my thing.
Or... I think a unique issue that I saw, at least in our other sales guys, was we were actually trying to get them specifically selling SEO, right? So could it have been the technical side or the technical like knowledge is required to understand SEO? That could be difficult for some sales guys to come in and understand it intimately enough to sell it.
I think so. And I think that's why having a pitch pre-built, so like literally spoon feed your salespeople, is so critical. Because there's a lot of technical stuff that not necessarily a salesperson needs to know. And if you try teaching them, it might just confuse them. Mm. So having a pre-made pitch, having them walk a customer through those four steps that I mentioned earlier, where you're, where you're posing a problem, showing your solution, building the value, and then showing, like intensifying the deal, the service or the product. So if you're walking people through something like that, literally you'll make the sale. If they're the right person for your solution, you'll make the sale 10 times out of 10. And if you, you know, are charismatic, you'll make the sale. So I hated it when I was selling knives that I had a prefabricated pitch. I hated it. But I see why they did that, because honestly, you just need to spoon feed people. They don't understand enough to really be able to sell your product as you would sell it, as like an owner of a company. So this is speaking to the owners of companies out there, at least until they do understand enough about your product or your service. And at that time, they'll probably move away from your pitch or try to do things that work better or work worse. So a good salesperson, I think, would adapt their pitch or your pitch and find what converts better or worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, honestly, I think that's really the way to go, is just overcome the technical side of things by spoon feeding.
Okay.
And spoon feeding them a pitch.
I think it's also going to help, like, that we're introducing our services to local businesses here and to our sales guys through reviews and review collection, because that's a very easy concept for sales guys to understand, for local business to understand, is that bad reviews are literally like sapping your income, and we can help you collect more of the good reviews, because people are way more likely to leave a bad review from being pissed off than leave a good review from being satisfied. And right. So our service is definitely extremely lucrative, very helpful for businesses that have maybe gotten like a few rough reviews, maybe at their inception, and then that, or you know, they've started like, even if this business has improved from their mistakes or from their problems, a lot of companies are still going to go, or a lot of customers are going to go to see the 4 to 5 star business versus the 2 to 3,
yeah.
You know. I was just thinking, like, yesterday I was prospecting daycares, and I'm like, man, so if you've got a 3.8 as a daycare, you're still probably going to lose out to so many of these competitors.
Nobody wants to leave their kid to a 3.8.
Yeah, it's your kid. Know? Like, so even like seeming like a 3.8 is not the worst thing in the world, but like when you're just coming into like someone's child.
Yeah.
You know, so I think a lot of these businesses will really appreciate the service, and I think our sales guys are going to very much understand it. And so then we can come in with an upsell for SEO or an upsell for social media marketing or an upsell for pay-per-click or
email
or whatever. but I feel like this is the perfect entry for sales guys to get in there, you know.
Sell a service and then boom, 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 boom.
I've got one more sales question for you and we can cash it out.
Sure.
So, as an inbound marketing agency, why is it still important to implement outbound tactics?
Oh.
It's
the blend. You got to do the blend.
So, I've talked to a lot of guys in our industry who don't have sales guys because they're all in on inbound,
mm-hmm.
on attracting our customers to us. But we're about to send sales guys to go in and talk with local business owners, like 90 of them,
mm-hmm.
here in town. Why is it important? Like, and do you think that inbound agencies that don't have salespeople are delusional?
So this is my scenario. You have two hands, right?
Okay. Yep.
You can hold a microphone and a magnet in one hand and the other hand, right?
Yep.
There we go. That's it. So inbound marketing is you're discoverable by people. People will be able to find you, and they'll find you when they want to find you, which means they will come to you, which is every company's dream, right? It has a huge return on investment for that reason, because you literally put in money as an investment and people find you. and they find you, which means they're more likely to convert on you because they're already looking for what you solve. So if someone's looking for car repairs and you come up first on Google for car repairs, they will probably go to you. So inbound marketing, boom. Outbound marketing is you get yourself in front of people, which, why would you waste the opportunity to not get yourself in front of people? Like, I don't understand. If you have the opportunity to put out advertising for yourself, I mean, obviously in a cost-effective manner.
Sure.
So Facebook ads right now are super cheap for the amount of attention that you get. So in a cost-effective manner, put yourself out there. I don't see what the problem is, because you get attention from both sides of the coin at that point.
Okay.
And in fact, when I tell people to do like SEO work with us, I also always recommend doing some kind of SEM approach.
Sure.
Because you get the short-term benefits of advertisement, because it's literally pay per lead, right? So you get the short-term benefits there. And then the long-term benefits of SEO, which is people being able to find you. And that usually just takes a little bit longer in general. So that's why it takes a little bit longer for you to see a return on investment. But also inbound marketing just takes a little bit longer in general, because you have to build up content and you have to build up a good repertoire. So
it's a lot of work.
It takes a lot of work. It's way better in the long run. If you're in an industry for the short term, just do outbound marketing. If you're in an industry for a long term, maybe just do inbound marketing, because you can literally, like, you'll be able to reap the benefits at the end of the day. But if you're trying to, like, honestly live practically, where you want some short-term benefits and you want long-term benefits as well, because you know you're going to be a business in 10 years or 5 years, do a blend. Like make the calculated expenses, do outbound approach for short-term, do inbound approach for long-term. Some inbound is short-term and some outbound is long-term, but generally speaking, you know, that's how it looks. I mean, if you can do both, do both. Why would you leave money on the table? Like, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
So the official hone answer to this question is,
don't leave money on the table. Use both.
Beef up on inbound, but do not neglect cost-effective outbound.
Cost-effective. Yeah, actually. Yeah, that's probably good. Yeah. I would say that for sure.
So when putting anything in like Yellow Pages or...
Yeah, which people still do.
Yeah, so don't go all in on like all outbound.
Find cheap attention. Yes. Cheap attention. That's what it is. Like when Google had PPC for 5 cents a click, that was cheap. Now PPC, not so cheap. Some keywords are cheap, but others, not so much. So you got to be smart. You got to be smart.
Excellent. Well, we hope you guys got a lot of value out of this episode.
That was so Atilio heavy episode.
I know, but we told them it was going to be a sales episode.
If you're listening to this and you're at this point, comment on Facebook. Ask me about how you can get leads or prospects or a specific question. Ask.
Ask us questions. Like if we start getting questions, we'll do a Q&A.
Yeah.
Like
literally, we're a marketing company. Like we know how to get you guys sales. We know how to get you guys more money. We know how to get you more attention. Literally ask.
And don't let the name be misleading. You don't have to be building an agency to reach out to us or talk with us. Like if you're a restaurant owner, if you are in any industry doing anything.
A bowling alley owner. If you have a startup for an app and you don't know how to get that app attention.
If you are trying to get attention, customers, readership, anything, let us know. Talk to us. We'd love to offer insight and let you know about the mistakes we've made along the way that have led us here. So.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, as always, we love you guys. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. You have no idea.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Peace.